Hey, Alan here with you. Aaron with me as well. We're going to figure out what we're going to put in the catch up.
Big show today, my friend.
Really, really busy.
Yeah, plenty
What do we do? We had a chat with Annetta from Consumer Protection about this latest scam. I had no idea that you had been potentially scammed by this as well.
Oh, the Chinese, the Mandarin one, where they call you up and it's a Chinese speaking voice. Had it last week.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. It was rather odd, rather strange.
I don't doubt that. Also, Alice Ferry Pals with Dr. Braden. We'll chuck that in there as well. I had a chat with our celebrity chef. He's got a brand new series kicking off tomorrow night on SBS with Coastal Kitchens, really highlighting the Margaret River region, which is always great. That is Peter Kuravita on the show.
Look,
so they'll be
that
in there. Law and Order SPU for another episode. Also, Alex Wilson as well from the Truffle and Wine Co. talking about finding truffles, how you grow. Ask the questions that people want to know. Why don't you just grow a ton of them? Why don't you just grow them where you can find them? Why are you hunting for them? That's silly. He answered it and shut me up pretty quickly. I've got a couple of little random things we'll throw in there as well, including us talking about the Wiggles, what happened with that, the latest health scare, and I'm sure plenty more else as well. Look
heaps
out for that.
Always heaps to look forward to.
Yep. But yeah. I just had this own thought in my head just then.
What thought's that, mate?
I don't know. I don't know if I can say it.
Well, I reckon you can. It's A, you know, it's your show, and B, it's the catch-up.
I was just laughing at when you messed up Sounds of the Southwest before. When we were finishing the show, you said 17,000.
I did, yeah. There's obviously, it's up to
1,000. I handled it well. I'm very professional.
Yeah. That's the type of humility that we love about you, Alan.
You know what? In fact, we'll start the catch-up with me laughing at you messing up, saying goodbye for the day. Enjoy the catch up.
Of course, Sounds of the Southwest returning tomorrow.
17,720. Netta on the line from Consumer Protection. Plenty of scams about this time of year. Let's focus on this one that got my attention. A bit of a visa scam.
Yes, this one's targeting the Chinese community, and we've seen a really big spike in it. There's two scams that are doing the rounds. One involves threats of arrest, and then the other one is extortion via fake kidnapping. So we've seen this one increase by 400% in May.
Wow.
And so far, ScamWatch in 2018 has received nearly 1,700 reports about the scams, and we know the losses are sitting at $1.15 million. That's reported losses. So right across Australia, it's targeting everybody nationwide.
Wow, that's a huge amount for it to jump.
Yeah, it is huge. So what you'll get initially is you'll get an urgent voice message in Mandarin asking you to call back, and the scammer will impersonate a parcel delivery service or Chinese authorities and claim that you're in serious trouble as they've intercepted a package addressed to you with fake documents like fake passports and so on. And so you need to pay to avoid extradition to China to face criminal charges. And then we've seen it sort of do a bit of a variation on that. And the scammers will contact students and claim that they've been involved in criminal activity and threaten them and their family with criminal sanctions unless they pretend they've been kidnapped. So including taking photos of themselves bound and gagged. And then they use those photos to extort the family, claiming that the student's been kidnapped. So it's just worthwhile warning friends and family.
Yeah.
And if anyone's ever phoning you up making threats about arrest or deportation, you know it's a scam.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely crazy. Another scam as well is a one where it's about loans, but they're using real company names?
Yes, they are. So there are some genuine companies that have been used in this scam. One's Anchor Finance, another is called Credit Restore, and another one's called BBM Finance. And what happens is the scammers are either phoning people or sending them unsolicited emails and offering loans. And then they ask for an insurance fee up front as part of this fake application process. Obviously, your loan money will never turn up and they'll cease communicating with you over time. But we do know these are real companies and these scammers are using their ABNs and their logos and things like that. So it's just worthwhile. You need to do a few extra checks. Check that the lender's licensed through ASIC, but then also double check the phone numbers and email addresses you're using truly belong to that company. So look up the details independently and contact them and be very suspicious of anyone asking you to pay fees up front that might involve wire transferring money or putting it into bank accounts and so on.
Yeah, it's just crazy how more technical these scammers are getting.
Yeah, and it gets harder and harder to detect because, as I said, these ones in this particular case are real companies that do exist and have ABNs and ACNs. If you checked up on them, they would appear legitimate.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy stuff. Annetta, thanks for the chat today.
Thank you.
Annetta there from Consumer Protection. We're very soon we're going to get moving in talking about the Woolworths plastic bag ban. But you got one of these calls, didn't you?
Yeah, we're talking about the Chinese scam there. Just, yeah. I got one of those calls last week. I had a missed call from a Canberra number, and then it called me back again about half an hour later. And this time I obviously picked up, and it was a lady's voice talking to me in Chinese. Obviously, I didn't understand that. Don't speak Mandarin. And then the only thing I could make out of the phone call was when this lady said Chinese embassy, and it loops three times. Yeah. And it's the same message going three times, and I heard Chinese embassy three times. I'm like, what the hell is this? And
there
then I
you
heard
go.
This, yeah, whole scam.
So if anyone's got one of those calls now, they know what it's about.
Exactly.
It's a scam. Just one of those classic scams. Definitely not Bao Hao.
Which is not good in
Mandarin. You're welcome. This report that was released today from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare has got a lot of people talking. Now, it's only just been released, but they've found in it that we are very much overweight in this country.
Let's go through the first stat that is revealed in this story. This is absolutely huge. More than 99% of children and 96% of adults do not eat the recommended amount of vegetables.
Yeah, that would obviously lead into
it. We knew it was bad. We didn't know it was that bad.
That's pretty bad. That's like every Australian.
It could literally only be 1% worse in case of children. 99% of children. That's all of our kids don't eat enough vegetables.
Yeah.
All of them.
Also, they've managed to find as well in the survey that 2/3 of adults are overweight.
And we knew we had a high obesity rate, didn't we? But
well, I just have to look in the mirror to be aware of it. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that, the country, the world, I feel like is getting fatter to a degree, especially the Western world, in particular here in Australia. You used to be a personal trainer before took on this gig. I imagine in your time you would have seen a lot of people come in with the goal of losing weight and not succeeding. Why aren't people losing weight?
You know what never works? When people come in... If they want to get in good shape for a wedding or if it's something...
For an event.
Mm-hmm. That never works.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. And I'm not saying they don't get in shape and get ready for that one, but what happens after that? You know, people commonly don't conduct lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm.
We want everything quickly. We want everything fast. We want everything by a certain date, whether it's the food, the TV, the audio, everything on demand, straight away, fast food, everything, and it extends to results. People just want to click the fingers. A go-slow approach is what works best.
Okay.
Lifestyle changes.
So it's not about I'm going to be on a diet for a set amount of time. It's I'm going to be changing my diet.
Don't try and lose 25 kilos in 25 weeks.
Try and just...
How long did it take you to put that 25 kilos on? Slowly, over a long period of time. So think about doing it the same in reverse.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Take a slow and steady tortoise and a hare. Take the tortoise approach to losing weight. Yeah, absolutely.
What about diet versus, say, gym? Is there one more important than the other? Or are they both equally important?
It's equally important. Absolutely. What you're putting into the body is critically important, but sort of the same thing. If you go on a really hard fad diet, you're sort of setting yourself up to failure again. What happens when it's over, you know?
Yeah.
So just tweak it. Change little things bit by bit, slowly. Slow changes work the best.
And what about gym? Just go in there and just...
It's the same thing. If you go in there and try and kill it so that, you know, you can't walk the next day or drive if you try to, you know, bench press 100 kilos and you never have before, then you're not going to want to go back, are you? So small incremental changes. Build things up slowly, whether it's a diet or in the gym.
Bit of advice there. But, yeah, these reports...
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, these report findings are pretty damning, but 2/3 of Australians overweight. And, eat some more vegetables. I had one yesterday. It was fantastic. Just one.
What was it, mate?
It was asparagus.
Well, it's a good step in the right direction, at least.
With a mashed potato with so much butter. Bit of news in regards to the Wiggles.
And their biggest, most famous, still remaining
original
member of the Wiggles. Yeah.
Anthony Field went to hospital overnight.
Yeah. Do you know what he did? Do you know why he ended up in hospital?
Why?
He walked into a revolving door.
We can laugh about this because since then he has gone to Instagram and said that he is okay, everything's all right. But, geez, that's pretty funny.
It always sounds like rubbish, doesn't it? The old revolving door trick. What happened to you, Anthony? Oh, I just walked into a door. That's the kind of rubbish you come up with when something more suspicious happened.
You reckon?
Ask Robert Allenby. Yeah.
Well, it's good to know that at least majority of the Wiggles seem to be in good health.
Yes, well, this is
obviously
good.
Despite Jeff, who still suffers from heavy sleep apnea, which one day he will eventually get it. We can hope. We can hope. Thoughts and prayers with
Jeff.
Fingers
crossed Jeff sorts that out.
Wake up, Jeff. I'm sure a lot of people out there would love this show, Coastal Kitchen, and it's got its second season returning tomorrow night. Peter Kiravita, the host of it, is on the line with me. How are you, mate?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on your lovely show.
Congratulations on the second season, mate. You're obviously doing something right.
Well, yeah, I hope so. look, I mean, how can you do anything wrong when you're talking about Margaret River?
Well, look,
it was amazing. It was. I come from the Sunshine Coast, which is a pretty nice part of the world as well. And as a chef, I've sort of moved there because of the availability of food, you know, seafood as well as the hinterland food, and also the passion of the producers. And then going to the other side, dipping my toes in the Indian Ocean and watching the sunset, look, it's the same thing over there. Everybody that I met was so passionate about what they do, and it wasn't just about growing things or making things. It was the whole process, and, you know, they were into it 100%, and that's what I love as a chef.
Absolutely. What's some of the highlights we can expect from this season?
Oh, look, we've kind of divided it up into sections. We've got local producers. We've got an Indigenous episode. We go to the sea, and I go abalone diving in Augusta, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Black garlic, meeting some of the great winemakers like Vanya Cullen. I went truffle hunting. Look, that area is just, there's just so much to do that... that I could have kept going for weeks, to be honest. It was fantastic. Great farmers.
What is black garlic? I've never heard of that before.
All right. Well, it's not fermented, but it's a slow-cooked garlic. So the whole clove is slowly cooked in a very secret way, which Mike, the man who makes it, wouldn't tell me. And Mike also had a past life. He was an ultra-marathon runner, apparently the second best in the world, could run for days non-stop.
Wow.
But on his big farm there, he was making this garlic, and it was just, it's like Vegemite. When it comes out, it's still in the clove. You open the clove, the skin, and inside is this black, mushy, nothing like garlic, slightly smoky, sour, kind of like Vegemite in a way. You could easily spread it on toast, maybe a bit of Margaret River wood-fired, you know, sourdough, and eat it. But I went a bit crazy, and I put it into a dessert. I made it with poached strawberries and a chocolate mousse. So, it should be quite interesting.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Also, you managed to get your hands on some of our famous gin as well.
I did. West Winds Gin. Now, that guy, again, another person who used to be world kiteboarding or windsurfing champion, came there in a shed on an abandoned property. Two guys decided that they were going to make gin just for a laugh. They got this cool still made. They entered the gin into a competition and got many, many gold medals to the stage where it's being used in bars around the world. So an amazing story. And the great thing is it's all local. So the gin that I tried has got sea parsley, and they harvest water from Margaret River, dehydrate it, and then add salt to it. So you've pretty much got a dirty martini in a glass without even having to mix it. All you have to do is shake it on ice.
Man, that sounds like a dream. but we do appreciate you celebrating what we already know is an amazing region, but you getting out there and finding all these little bits. If everyone wants to watch it, SBS, 8 o'clock, Thursday night. Going to be awesome. Coastal Kitchen back again for another season. Thanks for the chat today, mate.
Absolute pleasure. And cook some of those recipes because I made them easy and approachable for people at home.
Tall Timbers presents a Bacardi and Truffle degustation night happening this Friday.
This is a bit fancier than a pie and chips combo.
Mate, the tickets are $165 per person.
Can we go through the menu?
We can go through the menu.
Because it looks amazing.
Well, I'm not very good at French, so I'm going to let you give it a crack.
Oh, I'm still going to try and read it in English. Warm black truffle toast with... You saw yourself out there. How long ago through this truffle degustation menu, mate? Warm black truffle toast with Cambray triple cream brie and braised leek. Baked marinade truffle parsley. Still laughing. You chuckle away in the corner there, buddy.
The head of sales on the line from the Truffle and Wine Co., Alex Wilson. How are you, mate?
Very, very good. It's always busy in truffle season.
I can imagine that. Truffle kerfuffle obviously happening this weekend as well. And I've got some questions to ask someone that knows how to grow a truffle. Our first one, this is a huge process. These things are worth so much. Why don't you just grow a billion of them?
Yeah, exactly. I wish we had... I mean, we're so lucky in Manjimup to have really, really good quality water, mm-hmm. to have some amazing chocolatey, rich carry loam soil. And we also have access to some great nurseries that can produce the trees for us. So we've got some great positives, but it's one of those things. There's not that many farms around. Not enough land.
Not enough land. Okay. You guys hunt for truffles. Why aren't they just grown where you know they're going to be?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Out in our farm, we've got, I don't know, say 20 hectares, 50 acres of what we would call a forest. Mm-hmm. What we've done is we've recreated a European forest. Now, what that means is some years you have a dry summer or a wet summer. Some years you have a dry winter or, you know, because the size of the forest has different, what do you call it, soil mm-hmm. through it. Sometimes it's a bit grey, sometimes it's a bit clay. You have variability year on year. So sometimes you have a lot of truffle from one block and next year a bit less.
Okay. Do you have like an area where you're kind of like that good old area, old reliable?
Well, I mean, over time, because some of our trees are 22 years old, over time, they all have pretty much switched on.
Yeah.
There are some blocks that are a bit more consistent, but then also there are some years that the weather does impact them. So, yeah, you do get your favourites, but I would say 80% of the property, you know, it's pretty consistent.
Absolutely. Now, you've got a lot of stuff going on, I imagine, for Tropical Kerfuffle. What events are you guys having a hand in?
Well, we're actually really excited about this Saturday night. It's only one dinner of many dinners, but we're actually flying in a chef, a guy called Sam Isbert from a venue in Singapore called Whitegrass.
Mm-hmm.
They got their first Michelin star July last year, and we're super excited that they have Australian modern cuisine as their theme. So Sam's flying in. He's bringing a sous chef as well, and I've seen the menu. It's spectacular. So they've got some amazing wines paired with that food, and that's only one example of the many events either at the TK or in satellite venues like Silkwood or all dotted all around the region.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it's going to be an absolute huge weekend. Well, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, they can do so at the Truffle and Wine Co. Mate, thanks for the chat today, and I'll leave you to it. Find me some more troubles.
Fantastic. Look forward to it. Thanks, Alan.
Al's Furry Pals. Thanks to Bunbury and Eaton Vet Clinics. Modern medicine, compassionate care.
I've now got Dr. Braden in the studio to have a chat today about older pets and how to care for them, because, you know, they're our good friends, but unfortunately they do age.
Yeah, that's it, and I've got an ageing dog myself. So
how old's your dog?
He's about 8.5 as best as I can figure. I got him as a rescue dog, yeah, so we're not really sure, but can really see him starting to slow down now.
Okay.
So it's becoming something that's quite relevant to me as well, so I thought I'd share a bit of information on it.
Where do we start?
I think probably the number one thing is, I guess, looking at the whole dog. So mm-hmm. I think diet and nutrition is something that we need to look at for our older dogs, because as they slow down, they're not as energetic. They lose a bit of muscle mass, and so they don't need as much energy. So you need to really cut back on those calories. You can also look at adding things in like your glucosamine, chondroitin. Turmeric seems to be gaining a bit of evidence that might help with arthritis. And so really looking at the nutrition of the dog, I think, is quite a useful thing. And that links mm-hmm. into weight control, just making sure your old dog doesn't get fat, because when they've got arthritic joints, last thing they need is to be carrying around an extra 10 kilos, because that's a lot of extra strain there.
What about exercise? I know with people, when they get older pets, they're like, oh, we should slow down the exercise.
It's a real balance there, because if you stop exercising them, they put on weight, they lose muscle mass, and the joint support disappears. Mm. So what I recommend is moderate exercise. The golden rule is they should never be more sore when they finish to when they start. So if you take them out for a walk and they're limping more when they get back, it means you've done too much. But certainly looking at using medications and things when needed. If they're arthritic, mm-hmm. get them on some anti-inflammatories. They can move more, get them back to normal quality of life. But avoiding those real vigorous exercises, so chasing balls and things like that, can be pretty harsh on them.
Okay.
Yeah, and swimming's probably the best one.
Oh, yeah, we spoke about this before with the arthritis. Yeah,
so
swimming's
sort of
great.
Leads on from there, yeah. Mental health is actually a really big thing for aging pets as well, because a couple of things happen. They lose some of their senses, so they lose their vision and their hearing to a certain extent. So they can get a little bit stressful for them when the environment changes. So you want to keep that environment the same. And they actually undergo a lot of changes very similar to people with age in terms of senile dementia, Alzheimer's. So things you might find is your dog loses its toileting behaviour, it's barking inappropriately. Yeah. Those sort of things can be a sign that maybe there's a bit of senility kicking in, and it's worth considering having that checked out if you're noticing changes.
A mate of mine has a cat, very old cat, it's gone blind now. What's the best advice in regards to that?
Generally, if it's an irreversible blindness, which most of them are, really keeping the environment the same. So keeping the food bowl, the water bowl, the litter tray in the same spot, because the cat will have a bit of a mental map in its mind, and that'll let it get to those things quite happily. As soon as you start moving furniture, food bowls around, that's when they get confused because they can't find things. So really consistency is the main thing there.
Absolutely. Do you need to announce when you enter a room with a blind animal, like whether it's a dog or a cat, do you need to make it really obvious that you're there so you don't sneak up and scare the hell out of them?
Yeah, it's worth making a little bit of noise, particularly when they're older. If they're having a snooze, just make a bit of racket before you pat them. Otherwise, you can scare them and they might give you a bite or a scratch for, for your efforts.
Yeah, you don't want that. Well, thanks for the advice, and definitely some great advice in regards to older pets.
Thank you.
We know the plastic bag ban is coming up very, very soon. Today, Woolworths will no longer be selling single-use plastic bags, so be prepared for that if you go into the shops later today. But that is why it's now time for another episode of Law & Order SPU.
In the WA justice system, plastic-based offences are considered especially heinous. In the Southwest, the dedicated police who investigate these atrocious felonies are members of an elite squad known as the Special Plastic Unit. These are their stories.
All right, what have we got?
Woman, deceased, looks to be in her 30s.
How long has she been in the water?
6 to 10 hours.
You sure?
Yeah, she says it right here.
She doesn't look like she's been in the water that long.
Probably because of the plastic wrap.
Glad?
No, I'm pretty upset by it all.
Well, you're saying that's plastic in the water?
Well, yeah, the killer has so...
Well, we can get her out. Get this plastic out of the water.
But the evidence...
I don't give a rat's about your investigation. Hey, if you got an issue, you can take it up with the SPU. It's like straws in the ocean. It sucks. Yep, plastic bag ban, July 1st. Make sure you are prepared for it. But get those reusables. And, Woolworths customers today... No more single use. Do keep that in mind.